Here's what happened in round numbers. According to a November 2004 study by Harvard University economist Richard B. Freeman, in 1985, the global economic world comprised North America, Western Europe, Japan, as well as chunks of Latin America, Africa, and the countries of East Asia. The total population of this global economic world, taking part in international trade and commerce, said Freeman, was about 2.5 billion people. By 2000, as a result of the collapse of communism in the Soviet Empire, India's turn from autarky, China's shift to market capitalism, and population growth all over, the global economic world expanded to encompass 6 billion people. As a result of this widening, another roughly 1.5 billion new workers entered the global economic labor force, Freeman said, which is almost exactly double the number we would have had in 2000 had China, India, and the Soviet Empire not joined. And be advised, these new players are stepping onto the playing field legacy-free, meaning that many of them were so far behind they can leap right into the new technologies without having to worry about all the sunken costs of old systems. It means that they can move very fast to adopt new, state-of-the-art technologies, which is why there are already more cell phones in use in China today than there are people in the United States. Many Chinese just skipped over the landline phase. South Koreans put Americans to shame in terms of internet usage and broadband penetration. We tend to think of global trade and economics as something driven by the IMF, the G8, the World Bank, the WTO, and the trade treaties forged by trade ministers. I don't want to suggest that these governmental agencies are irrelevant. They are not. But they are going to become less important. In the future, globalization is going to be increasingly driven by the individuals who understand the flat world, adapt themselves quickly to its processes and technologies, and start to march forward without any treaties or advice from the IMF. They will be every color of the rainbow and from every corner of the world. The global economy from here forward will be shaped less by the ponderous deliberations of finance ministers and more by the spontaneous explosion of energy from the zippies. Yes, Americans grew up with the hippies in the 1960s. Thanks to the high-tech revolution, many of us became yuppies in the 1980s. Well, now let me introduce the zippies. The zippies are here, declared the Indian weekly magazine Outlook. Zippies are the huge cohort of Indian youth who are the first to come of age since India shifted away from socialism and dived headfirst into global trade and the information revolution by turning itself into the world service center. Outlook called India's zippies liberalization's children and defined a zippy as a young city or suburban resident between 15 and 25 years of age with a zip in the stride. Belongs to Generation Z. Can be male or female, studying or working. Oozes attitude, ambition, and aspiration. Cool, confident, and creative. Seeks challenges, loves risks, and shuns fear. Indian zippies feel no guilt about making money or spending it. They are, says one Indian analyst quoted by Outlook, destination-driven, not destiny-driven, outward-looking, not inward, upwardly mobile, not stuck in my station in life. With 54% of India under the age of 25, that's 555 million people, 6 out of 10 Indian households have at least one potential zippy. And the zippies don't just have a pent-up demand for good jobs, they want the good life. One of the most dynamic pluggers and players I met in India was Rajesh Rayo, founder and CEO of Dhruva Interactive, a small Indian game company based in Bangalore. If I could offer you one person who embodies the triple convergence, it is Rajesh. He and his firm show us what happens when an Indian zippy plugs into the 10 flatteners. Dhruva is located in a converted house on a quiet street in a residential neighborhood of Bangalore. When I stopped in for a visit, I found two floors of Indian game designers and artists trained in computer graphics working on PCs, drawing various games and animated characters for American and European clients. Dhruva has already produced some very innovative games, from a computer tennis game you can play on the screen of your cell phone to a computer pool game you can play on your PC or laptop. I asked Rajesh, who is in his early 30s, to walk me through how he became a player in the global game business from Bangalore. "The first defining moment for me dates back to the early 90s, said Rajesh, a smallish, mustachioed figure with the ambition of a heavyweight boxer. "I started my company in Bangalore as a one-man operation on March 15, 1995. By 1997, we were a five-man team. We had done some path-breaking work in our chosen field, but we realized that this was not challenging us enough. In March 1997, we partnered with Intel and began the process of reinventing ourselves into a gaming company. By mid-1998, we were showing global players what we were capable of by way of both designing games and developing the outsourced portions of games designed by others. On November 26, 1998, we signed our first major game development project with Infogrames Entertainment, a French gaming company. In hindsight, I think the deal we landed was due to the pragmatism of one man in Infogrames more than anything else. We did a great job on the game, but it was never published. It was a big blow for us, but the quality of our work spoke for itself, so we survived. The most important lesson we learned? We could do it, but we had to get smart. We had to look at positioning ourselves differently. In March 2001, we sent out our new game demo, Saloon, to the world, said Rajesh. The theme was the American Wild Wild West, and the setting was a saloon in a small town after business hours, with the barman cleaning up. None of us had ever seen a real saloon before, but we researched the look and feel of a saloon using the internet and Google. The choice of the theme was deliberate. We wanted potential clients in the USA and Europe to be convinced that Indians can get it. The demo was a hit. It landed us a bunch of outsourced business, and we have been a successful company ever since. Could he have done this a decade earlier, before the world got so flat?